Camacho, may I just ask Ms. Chrysostomo for her cell number, please?
Well, I'm going to ask if there's any redirect here, so you'll have that opportunity to ask for yourself.
Okay.
Minister Cunliffe, is there any redirect?
Yes, thank you. Ms. Chrysostomo, Ms. Tang was asking you about amortization tables. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And in order to have an amortization table, you have to know what the principal is.
Yes.
And then you have to know what the interest is going to be.
Yes.
And if the interest that there is proposed isn't something that's possible, is that going to give you any ability to do an amortization table?
Can you repeat that?
If you don't, if the, for instance, that I say, well, I'm going to get a loan for 5% interest, and that's not a possibility, then is that amortization table that you provided, or are provided, have any validity?
No.
Do you know anything about the financing of bonds?
Yes.
And are you aware that, for instance, if you ask for, if you get a AAA bond, you get a certain interest rate, but if you get a AA bond, you get a higher interest rate, if you get an A bond, it's a higher interest rate?
Yes.
Okay. So, if your proposal is an interest rate at a certain area, but you're not capable of getting that kind of financing, then that amortization and that offer really is not much validity, does it?
Yes.
Now, you indicated about a conversation you were having with Mr. Tenorio, and I got on the phone. You recall that?
Yes.
Do you recall whether Mr., when you were talking to Mr. Tenorio, he was in his vehicle?
No, I was not aware.
Do you recall that he indicated I was walking up the street and he pulled up next to me and handed me the phone out the window of his car?
Objection. Is Mr. Cunliffe testifying as a witness? Because then he should be sworn in.
Yeah, I'm going to state, Ms. Cunliffe, how do you respond to that objection?
I'm asking if she recalls the circumstances of what happened that day.
Okay, but I'm just going to remind you, as you all know, that if an attorney is a witness in a proceeding, the attorney should withdraw or should avoid becoming a witness in a proceeding. You recall that part of the professional rules?
It was a leading question.
Very well. I'll allow you to proceed, but please avoid testifying.
Thank you.
Did you recall Mr. Tenorio explaining why he was putting me on the phone?
No.
You indicated in that conversation, I just indicated I would be subpoenaing you, or maybe...
I recall, yeah.
And you weren't happy about that?
No.
I have nothing further.
Mr. Abrams, do you have any recalls?
Just a couple. So let me see if I got this right now. You received a call from Josh Tenorio
a week or two, somewhere around.
Do you have an especially good memory for past events?
No.
That's the impression I have. Well, anyway, this call came through from Josh Tenorio to you within, say, inside of the month of October, or could it have been September?
Maybe October.
Not September. Hello?
Yeah, maybe October.
Okay, Ms. Ramos, please allow the witness to think of her response and to respond and then not make statements such as yelling at her. Okay?
Fine.
Please proceed.
Which month would it have been? October or?
Probably October.
Probably.
Early, yeah.
Early October.
Somewhere, yeah, October.
Okay. Now, this call came through from Mr. Tenorio to your cell phone, would that be correct?
Yes.
And he called you on his cell phone, would that also be correct?
Yes.
And he was with Mr. Cunliffe at the time that he called you.
I was not aware that
well,
he
Mr.
was...
Mr. Cunliffe, you passed the phone to Mr. Cunliffe, didn't you?
Yes, he did. He gave the phone. I did speak with Mr. Cunliffe on Josh's phone.
So the two of them were together. They had to be together for him to pass you the phone, pass Mr. Cunliffe the phone, right? So here we have, just trying to get the picture here. We have...
Could you please speak into the microphone, Mr. Ravens? I don't think we're capturing your testimony, or your statement.
I'm very sorry about that. Well, we have Attorney Cunliffe and probably his client, Josh Tenorio, walking down the street or at his office or wherever they were, and they're together.
I'm going to object. Mr. Tenorio is not my client.
Well, whatever it was.
Okay, well, I don't believe that, at least in these proceedings, I don't believe Mr. Tenorio is Mr. Cunliffe's client, so please proceed, Mr. Ravens.
We have Mr. Tenorio and Mr. Cunliffe together talking about whatever they were talking about, and Josh Tenorio, according to your testimony, while he's with Mr. Cunliffe, calls you on a personal matter. Is that it?
I'm going to object again to the form of the question. She didn't say that Mr. Tenorio was with me when he made the phone call.
Well, she did.
And respond.
You can actually respond.
Ms. Cosmo, as we're deciding the test or the objection, you don't need to make any comments.
Mr. Camacho, I don't see a whole lot of difference between Mr. Tenorio passes the phone to Mr. Cunliffe and he talks to this lady. They had to be together. They're not across the street or in different parts of Guam or anything.
I'm going to overrule the objection. Please proceed with the question.
So here we have, just trying to get the picture here. We've got Mr. Tenorio and Attorney Cunliffe together talking about whatever they were talking about, and all of a sudden, while he's with Mr. Cunliffe, Mr. Tenorio decides to make a quote-unquote personal phone call to your cell phone.
I'm going to object again. It assumes facts.
I did not say that.
Oh, hang on.
It's facts, not an evidence that Mr. Tenorio and I were having a conversation about anything when the phone was passing. He's assuming facts, not an evidence.
Mr. Evans, a response?
I'll rephrase my question.
Please proceed.
So here we have, trying to get this picture straight, we have Mr. Tenorio and Attorney Cummins together. They may or may not have been talking to each other, but while they were together, Mr. Tenorio decides it's a good time to make a personal phone call to you on your cell phone. Is that right?
I'm going to object again. It assumes facts, not evidence, that a phone call was made while Mr. Tenorio and I were together.
Well,
Mr. Evans,
I'd like to respond to that. Now, how could they not be together? If Mr. Tenorio says, here's Attorney Cummins wants to talk to you, and passes the phone to Attorney Cummins, how could they not be together? I think Mr. Cummins is making a very disingenuous objection here.
I'm going to allow you to rephrase the question, okay? But stick to the facts that this witness has testified to. So I'm going to sustain Mr. Cummins' objection in part. Please proceed.
So let me try and get it straight again. So Mr. Tenorio calls you for a personal reason, and during this personal phone call that he makes from his cell phone to your cell phone, he says something to the effect of, wait a minute, Attorney Cunliffe would like to join the conversation, talk to him. Is that about right?
I was not aware that Mr. Cunliffe was on the other side of the phone. If he was there.
Well, you must have been aware when he started talking to you.
Yes. I was made aware that he was there.
So you're not saying that they weren't together. They were together when he gave the phone to Mr. Cunliffe, weren't they?
Yes.
So while they were together, Mr. Tenorio makes a personal phone call to you or has a personal conversation with you on your cell phone. Would that be correct?
Yes, he made a phone call.
All right. While he's with Mr. Cunliffe, and during that personal phone call, he passes the phone to Mr. Cunliffe so he can talk to you.
Yes, he did pass the phone.
Let me ask you this. Considering what you just testified to, would you say that your phone conversation with Mr. Tenorio was 100% personal? are 50% personal and 50% non-personal in nature.
I would say 80% personal.
And 20% other stuff,
yes.
Like the procurement process.
About the case.
Oh, okay. So, the personal part of it out of the way, the conversation got into the JFK procurement, and that's when Mr. Cunliffe decided to enter the conversation. Is that right? Yes or no, please?
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, you said that it was 80-20, 80 personal and 20 non-personal. And I'm just asking you that the personal part was probably, you know, you start off with the personal part, and then the conversation sort of morphed into the JFK procurement subject, and that's when Mr. Cunliffe came on the line after you were talking to Mr. Tenorio about that, right?
Yes.
Is that it?
The only thing is the conversation that with Mr. Cunliffe was he was warning me that he might be or is going to subpoena me.
But that followed your conversation with Josh about the procurement process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this, different subject. We'll give that a rest for a moment. Is Mr. Tenorio the only CoreTech individual with whom you've had a discussion, since September?
Yes.
Nobody else from CoreTech?
No, I don't know them.
Are you absolutely sure?
Well, I don't, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Now, this 20%, hold on a second, let me ask a different question first. This whole conversation that started when Mr. Tenorio called you, from the time you picked up the phone until the time you said goodbye at the end of the call and you hung up, how many minutes would you estimate took place there?
A conversation?
From the time the phone rang and you answered it until the time you hung up and there was no more conversation, would it be 15 minutes? Would it be 10 minutes?
I think less than 15.
But more than 10?
I don't recall. I think it's less than 15.
Okay, then. Now, after you spoke with Attorney Cunliffe about the subpoena, did you talk to him about anything else or just about the subpoena?
Hung up the phone.
Oh, you didn't go back and talk to Mr. Tenorio again?
No.
So Mr. Tenorio said, just before I hang up, talk to Mr. Cunliffe. Is it like that?
No, he just, when I spoke with Mr. Cunliffe, he just like informed me that I might be subpoenaed, and that was the end of the conversation.
Okay, thank you very much, Mrs. Chrysostomo. That's it for me.
Okay, any recross?
Yes, please. Thank you. Mr. Cunliffe asked you about some questions about interest and how, I'm trying to remember his question, that it would be impossible. I think his words were, the information provided, the interest is impossible, therefore the I guess amortization schedule, the payments would have no validity. Would that be accurate?
Would it be impossible if they offered that and it was impossible to get that interest rate?
Mm-hmm.
Then yes, I believe that their amortization will have to be revised.
Okay. So, but my question is, at the time that you reviewed the amortization schedule,
yes,
did you think it was impossible?
In my opinion, I think it was.
And did you voice that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And why did you think it was impossible?
Because the government had to do certain things that I think the proposer said it wasn't impossible, but in my opinion, I think it was very it was very, I mean, I don't think it could have happened.
But what's the basis for that?
Because of our current finances with the government of Guam.
You're talking about government of Guam?
Of Guam, yes.
And can you be more specific other than the general statement, current finances?
One of the proposals required that Gov Guam get it.
We can't get into proposals other than, but I'm just saying, other than, but you formed an opinion.
Yes, I did.
That interest was impossible. I would like to know the factual basis for that opinion. Not specific to the proposal.
It required the government of Guam to do certain things in order to get that, and that was the impression that I got from the proposal, to the proposer, that you can get this interest rate if you do A, B, C. So, and there was something there that I felt was unreachable. That's my opinion.
But isn't it true? You've got a master's in accounting, right? So you could read this RFP pretty well.
I agree.
Right? For someone with your background.
It was difficult to read.
The financing portion of it. But you didn't ask anybody about it.
Well, I did request for more clarification.
Okay. Now, the was it your understanding that the financing portion were various scenarios and that they were only presenting scenarios? They were not, in fact, representing that is a fact, that they could, that would be the final interest rate. Is that your understanding?
They did provide different scenarios.
No, that's not my question.
Okay.
I'm asking you a very specific question. Was it your understanding that these were scenarios?
Yes.
And that the RFP allowed a presentation of scenarios?
Yes.
Okay. So there's nothing wrong with those presentations because it complied with the RFP?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you also testified, I think one statement you made, and I didn't follow up on it, or maybe it was with Mr. Cunliffe, in response to Mr. Cunliffe's question. You said that you made a statement, the others said, one proposer said it could do it within 9 months. You said the others, with plural, said it could not be done in 9 months.
Okay,
was that your understanding?
Ms. Tang, I'm not going to allow you to go into, since it's a protective order, I'm not going to allow you to go into information contained in any of the proposals. Okay, that applies on both sides now.
Understood.
Okay, that's proceeding. Please proceed.
Thank you. You're familiar with the RFP requirement. This is just a general question. You are familiar with the RFP requirement that, I'm going to read from Section 2 of the instruction to bidders. The design phase shall be completed within 30 calendar days for design phase, and construction shall be completed within 270 calendar days, complete for ready for use. Was that your understanding of the RFP for completion of construction? 9 months, 270 days. All right. And so if a contractor, or I'm sorry, a proposer, generally speaking, if a proposer could not meet the 9 month deadline, they should be automatically disqualified.
Yeah, it's the requirement, yes.
Okay. Now, may I have your cell phone number, please?
482-1559.
Is this a telephone number you've had for the past year and a half?
Yes.
So who's your carrier, Mrs. Chrysostomo?
GTA.
Thank you.
Ms. Chrysostomo, just to go back to the question that Mr. Cummins asked, he said he thought the rate might have been impossibility. Because of the the financing might be triple A, double A, double B, or could you elaborate a little bit more in that regard?
The proposal was based on... I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Let me rephrase the question because there's comments for me. What is your understanding if the a proposal gets a triple A rating?
That you'll get a good interest rate.
Based on the information given the government of Guam financial situation, is that feasible or doable?
In my opinion, no.
So was that kind of the question, the concern you had when you heard the proposals from the different presenters?
Yes.
That the rate one of them was proposing might have been unrealistic?
Yes. In my opinion.
In your personal opinion.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any very, very brief redirect? Any very brief recross, Mr. Abrams? Any brief recross, Ms. Tang?
I have no further questions, Mr. Kamek.
Just one follow-up to Madame Otter's question. There was a question posed about AAA rating and whether that was why you thought it was impossible. Other than AAA, that wasn't the only rating that was proposed.
Right.
There was a scenario.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Ms. Casasum, you're going to be excused as a witness at this time. However, you are subject to recall at some future date by any of the parties, and I have to admonish you not to discuss your testimony today with any of the other witnesses or any of the parties in this matter until these proceedings are concluded. You understand that?
Yes.
Okay.
Can we also include Mr.
Tenorio
in that list?
I'm sorry, what?
Can we also include Mr. Tenorio in that list?
Yes, well, and also not discuss your testimony today with Mr. Tenorio until these proceedings are concluded. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'll take a brief break. Okay, we're going to take a brief 10-minute break, okay? And right before we take the break, though, Mr. Cunliffe, how many more witnesses do you have?
Just one, I believe.
And that's for today, okay? And, of course, subject to your review of the additional evidence that's what you're supposed to be seeing on Friday. I'm going to allow you to call some witnesses based on that new evidence, okay? I recall some witnesses. Yes?
If we could turn on the record just for a moment.
Yes.
Mr. Weisenberger has just joined us, as you can see.
I believe that Mr. Weisenberger has something to explain with respect to the procurement record documents, sealed and unsealed, that Mr. Cunliffe should have. If you don't mind, Mr. Camacho, could...
Well, as we have been continuously in hearing since about 9:15 this morning, I think let's bring up Mr. Weisenberger's information after the 10-minute break.
Okay.
Okay. Off the record at 11:36.
Camacho?
Yes?
Could you just please re-say what you...
Okay. All right, it is on the record now, correct?
Yes.
All right, so it is 11:54 on the 27th of October, 2009. We're back on the record in OPA-PA-09-005. There was a issue that Mr. Abrams wanted to discuss concerning the records prior to going to the 10-minute break we just came back from. Mr. Abrams?
Well, the best person to
to make that presentation has just left, the co-counsel, Mr. Weisenberger. When it comes to these kind of things, I usually delegate it to John, Mr. Weisenberger, because he's better at it than I am. But I'll tell you what he told me. I think that we just gave Mr. Cunliffe a number of procurement record documents that are unsealed. Would that be correct, Mr. Cunliffe?
Go ahead, Mr. Cunliffe.
For the record,
could you talk to your microphone? It's just a little far.
For the record, Mr. Weisenberger gave me the augmentation of procurement record transmittal, which was filed on the 22nd day of September 2009, which contains four attachments that were not attached to the cover sheet that I was originally served. He's given me that, and he indicated that he has the privileged documents. He had a binder with him. He said he thought that was my binder, but he's going to go back to the office and he's going to give it to me by the end of the day.
Okay.
Which is the procurement record, which was not privileged.
And as the OPA has the complete record, and that would include the disclosable portions of the procurement record, those are also available for your inspection and have been since the procurement record was filed. Are you aware of that?
The disclosed one. Yeah, he said that they gave one copy,
yes,
to the public auditor, which contains both disclosable and non-disclosable information in it. And then he had another copy that they didn't serve on me. They just served me the cover sheet of the document, which was served as the procurement record transmittal served on September 2nd, which only contained the cover sheet, Office of the Public Auditor, DPW documents, and it said private and confidential, not for distribution. And they served me that front page, but they didn't serve me the actual document.
And that's what I saw. I asked my secretary, well, I don't have a secretary, but I asked John's secretary if I could see the stamp from Randy's office on the procurement record documents that went out. So she produced the same binder that Randy mentioned, Mr. Cunliffe mentioned just now, with Mr. Cunliffe's office stamp on it. So I thought that was the whole thing was served, not just the cover sheet. If I had known it was just the cover sheet, I would have exploded. And
okay.
So I'm exploding now.
But the procurement record that was filed with the OPA was available. The portions that are non-proprietary were available for your inspection and have been available since, I believe, the first week or so of September. Just so you understand that.
Because the document they served me said everything was private and confidential, I presumed that everything they filed was private and confidential.
Well, in any event, you have now at least the documents that they are claiming, or at least a list of the documents they're claiming are private and confidential. Is that correct?
Yes, and actually Mr. Weisenberger also said that there are, with the procurement record transmittal, which was September 2nd, 2009, he is going to prepare a list of documents that was filed that they considered private and confidential, which I don't have yet.
Okay. In any event, do you have any more witnesses for today, Mr. Funnel?
I do, but I would ask if we maybe take lunch break at this point. I'd set some appointments at lunchtime because it's the only time I can in the day because it goes so late and it is noon.
May I ask how many he's contemplating?
We just have the one further witness. I believe that's Ms. Leon Guerrero.
Antoinette Leon Guerrero is here right now, if you want to call her.
Okay, what time are your appointments, Mr. Cummins?
Well, about 12:15, 12:30. I mean, I think
okay, can we try to go until about 12:15 or so then?
Yes.
Or 12:30, is that okay?
And then resume at 2.
And then we can resume at 2, and that should be able to allow you to take the time to
okay,
take care of your appointments. Is that okay with everybody?
That's great.
All right, okay, so let's proceed. Your next witness is
Antoinette Leon Guerrero.
Okay, please call Antoinette Leon Guerrero, please. Ms. Leon Guerrero, please come up to the witness table, please. And please have her signed in.
State your name in full. Antoinette Cornelio Guerrero. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mr. Cunliff, your witness.
Thank you, Mr. Macho. Good afternoon, Ms. Guerrero.
Good afternoon.
Where are you employed?
The Guam Economic Development Authority.
And how long have you been employed there?
Over 3 years.
Okay. And what are your duties at GEDA?
I'm under the Public Finance Division. We are the division that receives all the government agencies' financing.
I'm sorry, I'm...
We handle all the government agencies' financing.
Okay. And are you the head of that division? Or
no, I'm not.
Who's the head of that division?
Tina Garcia.
Okay. And what is your educational background?
This is Brandon with California Coast University, currently ongoing. And just education, right?
So you're in a college program now?
Yes.
Okay. What did you do before you joined GEDA?
I was employed with the Hong Kong and Chinese Banking Corporation, Corporate Financing Division.
And how long did you work there?
Over 15 years.
And did there come a time where you were requested to be involved in the RFP for the financing, design, and build of JFK?
Yes.
And how is it that you got involved in that?
During the evaluation.
Yes, but I mean, did somebody ask you to do that or tell you to do that? Or?
For the evaluation, I was selected. BPW had sent me a letter that I was considered one of the evaluators.
So you got a letter from, I guess, Mr. Paris from DPW?
Yes.
And do you recall when you got that letter?
I believe the beginning of the year.
Okay. And about how long before the evaluation was done did you receive the letter?
Excuse me?
About how long before the actual evaluation took place did you receive the letter?
The selection letter?
Yes.
I didn't receive it after. I received it prior.
Yeah. About how long before the actual meeting where you got together did you receive your selection letter?
I don't recall.
Okay. When you received the letter, was there anything else with it or just the letter?
Just the letter.
Okay. And before you went to the meeting, with the other evaluators for this committee, did you receive any documents?
No.
did you receive a briefing from anybody about your duties or obligations before the time that you went to the actual meeting?
No.
Do you recall going to the meeting, I guess it was at the ITC building where Gita's offices are located, sometime in about mid-January of 2009?
Yes.
And the other evaluators were present at that meeting?
Yes.
And is that the first time at the ITC building, or is that the first time that you all got together, to your knowledge?
Yes.
And when you arrived there, were you provided any information or any documents?
When we started the meeting, yes.
And what kind of documents did you receive?
We distributed the proposal.
And prior to the action, were presentations made also that day?
Yes.
Prior to the presentations, were you allowed to review the proposals?
Yes.
For about how much time?
I guess the whole month.
And were you given any briefings other than reviewing the documents? Did anybody brief you as to the documents or their contents?
Yeah.
Then, how many presentations were made that day by proposers?
Three.
And do you recall approximately how long each of those meetings lasted, or those proposals lasted?
Yeah.
During those presentations, did you ask any questions of any of the proposers?
I don't think.
And following the three presentations, was there a tallying or scoring of the presentations on some documents, some sheets of paper or something of the like?
Yes.
And after that scoring was done, I guess, was that the end of the day's work?
Ms. Nanger, I'm going to have to ask you to please speak closer to your mic, speak just a little louder so we can accurately capture your testimony on the recorded transcript. Please proceed.
Want me to repeat the question? After you heard the presentations and you scored the presentations, was that the end of the work for the day?
Yes.
And did you meet again with the evaluators as a group after that?
Yes.
And when was that?
About 3 weeks later.
Okay. And do you recall who was present?
We had all the evaluators and DPW folks.
DPW?
Yes.
Okay. And after that meeting, was there another meeting with the evaluators?
Yes.
Yes? And when was that?
A couple weeks later, I believe.
And was that all the evaluators?
I think we were missing one.
Okay. And other than the evaluators, who else was present?
The same DPW folks.
May I have a moment?
I have nothing further.
Mr. Abrams, any cross-examination?
No.
Ms. Tang, any cross-examination?
No, thank you.
Ms. Danielle Guerrero, when you came into the meeting that morning, you mentioned that you were given the copies of the different proposals. Were you also given a copy of the RFP?
Yes.
Given that was the first time you saw those documents, did you have sufficient time to review all of the documents?
Yes.
Did you have asked any questions regarding the financing aspects of the proposals? Did you ask any questions of the different proposals regarding the financing aspects of the of the respective proposals?
I don't.
You did not ask any questions. Based on when did you score the individual proposals?
After all presentations.
And that was in the same room where everybody was present?
Yes.
Was there any discussion at that time regarding any of the different presentations?
About the evaluators?
Yes.
Yes.
And then after conclusion of that discussion is when each one was asked to score?
Yes.
Were you informed of the preliminary numbers as to who might have ranked number one, two, or three?
During that process?
Yes, after you scored, right, I guess you turned in your score tallies to DPW, Ms. Torres?
Mm-hmm.
Did Ms. Torres come back to let the committee know what the preliminary rankings were?
Yes, a couple of days later.
Oh, but not that day?
Not that day.
Okay, it was later on.
Yes.
Did you have a sense of who might have been number one just based on your observation?
During the evaluation period?
Yes.
Yes.
No, you did not have a sense.
Okay.
Did you feel after the presentation that you had enough information to score, to make a, were you comfortable enough that you could score the different presentations based on the tally sheet that DPW presented?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Cummins, any redirect?
No.
Ms. Rivers, any recross?
No.
Ms. Tang, any recross?
No, thank you.
Okay, and Mr. Negro, boy, you're just talking at the bit to leave here. Okay, well, hang on. I still have to admonish you to not discuss. Okay, you're going to be excused as a witness. Of course, you're subject to recall by any of the parties at a later time. That's possible recall. And I'm going to admonish you not to discuss your testimony with any of the other witnesses or any of the parties in this matter until these proceedings have concluded. Do you understand that? Okay, thank you very much. Have a good day. Thank you for coming. And Mr. Cummins, any other witnesses today?
Not a good time.
Okay, so I believe that you are not going to rest until you review the additional evidence. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, then we're going to proceed a bit out of order in terms of allow the government or the purchasing agency to present their evidence. Is that correct? Are you ready to do that this afternoon, Mr. Abrams?
You know, I'm not sure. I think we will call one witness, and that, for everybody's benefit, that would probably be someone from GEDA. But other than that, I want to keep my options open, but I'm thinking that probably that'll be the only witness we're going to call.
Okay. So we're going to proceed then with, I know that the... We're just going to kind of go out of order here, but I'm going to allow Mr. Abrams to start presenting his evidence, okay, until that additional records have been disclosed to Mr. Cummins. He's had the opportunity to review them, okay?
Mr. Camacho, I do have Mr. Yoon Ho under subpoena, and
I've been bending over backwards to accommodate him. I know he's a busy businessman. So we've waived his continuous presence here on the understanding that he would be available within 30 minutes of a phone call, and I'd just like to make sure that's still the case. Because after the Gita witness, it may be that we do need to hear from Mr. Ho Yun. So I wonder if you would have an assurance from Mr. Cunliffe that he would be made available this afternoon.
Is that still the agreement if we have time for Mr. Yun?
This is Mr. Ho, and Mr. Ho indicated that if you would call him, he would take him 10 to 15 minutes to get here.
Okay. As long as that's still the case, then that's fine.
I haven't heard differently.
Okay, so very well. We're going to... Okay.
Could he, during the lunch break, reconfirm that?
Yeah. And I think he's already represented that, he would be available. Well, we're going to take our lunch break, okay, and then we're going to reconvene at 2 o'clock this afternoon, okay, and we're going to start with the purchasing agency's presentation of evidence, okay? All right, we're going to go off the record at 12:15 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you.